Welcome to Kingdom Perspective Broadcast, the teaching ministry of Dr. David Ogaga. We believe that this message is going to open up the seals and cause you to have a deeper revelation into the Word of God that will make you see beyond the letters in the Word. Here is Dr. David.
Hallelujah. Okay, let's pray. Our precious Lord, once again, we just exhort you. We give you praise. Adore you for your love, your goodness, and your faithfulness. Even so, Lord, we're asking that you grant us wisdom, understanding, and a revelation of your word. We ask Jesus Christ that through this word, we'll be able to understand your redemptive purposes for mankind. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Okay, so I want to start this series, and it's very close to what we started dealing with on Sunday. This is hearing God's voice. I'm dealing with hearing God's voice, or hearing the voice of God, any way you want to put it. What we dealt with on Sunday was the voice of life. Now, I find it's very, very important. Very, very important for us to understand the importance of hearing God as a child of God, born of His Spirit. Hallelujah. Very important you come to that understanding on hearing the voice of God, on knowing how God speaks, the ways by which He communicates. Because when you start hearing the voice of God, your faith will stand, even in times of troubles and difficulties or crisis, even in your nation. That is why it's very important that we come to this place of hearing God. When you start hearing God, even if you are facing challenges in life, you'll be so stable. Why? Because you know He who speaks to you is able. As it were, the word of God are like covenant. And if He makes a covenant with you, He keeps His covenant. A word is yea and amen. He doesn't change when it comes to the issue of Christ. So it's important that we get to understand the word of God. I mean the voice when He speaks. And one of the things that you need to grasp and follow on is the realization that your new birth is a restoration of fellowship with God. Because you see, Adam and Eve used to have fellowship with God until they lost that relationship by reason of the introduction of the knowledge of good and evil tree. But they used to have that relationship. And that's what defines who you are at this hour. Every son, you look at Jesus who made the statement, I'll do nothing except what I hear the Father say. Whatever thing He acts on is based on what the Father instructs Him to do. That means He was always hearing God. And He wasn't only hearing God, God was also hearing Him. So, His prayers were very short and precise. God, I know You hear at me always. Lazarus, come forth. You understand what I mean? He doesn't spend time. Why? Because He will know that this is what God wants to do. So he will act on what God says, and then he gets results. And like I said, you find Adam and Eve, they were always having fellowship with God. And that is why we read in the scriptures that the Bible says they heard the voice of God in the cool of the evening. So it's like a time of fellowship that they were always having together. Hallelujah. And if you take time to study that, you find out it has to do with the time of the evening sacrifices. That's when the voice actually comes up. So now, if we understand the principle of the sacrifice and how it builds us together with God in terms of covenant relationship. Christ has become our sacrifice before God. He is our sacrifice, sacrifice that God has offered. That means a channel for this communication is made open. That means we can have fellowship with God. And if we can have fellowship with God, it means we can hear God. Praise God. So this is very, very crucial, what we're about to start dealing with in this section. That you come to that place and you see, when you come to the place of hearing God, sorry to say, the prophetic lines that you're looking for will be cut short. If you know the purpose of God for your life, you don't need prophecy. If you hear God ultimately concerning what he wants to do in your life, you don't need the prophet to tell you anything about that. And that's very important. Hallelujah. So, Jesus speaking in John chapter 10 verse 27 says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me." I touched this on Sunday. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Now get to Exodus 20. Thank you, Father. Exodus 20 verse number 18. This has to do with the giving of the law. Bible says, "And all the people saw the thunderings and the lightnings and the noise of the trumpet and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off. And they said unto Moses, speak thou with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die." So here we find that God was speaking to everybody. Now, this is what you read in the book of Hebrews when you said, "You've come to my Zion, the seat of the living God." Hebrews 12. If you look at verse 20 to 21, be able to see it talks about the mountain that quaked and thundered and lightning, and the people were scared. So, when you read in Romans and begin to say, "We've not received the spirit of fear anymore to be bondage, but spirit of sonship where we cry, Abba Father," is directly connected to Exodus 20. What it's saying there is, in the book of Romans, is Romans chapter 8 in particular, it's trying to say, we are not Hebrew people who get scared when God was speaking. So when he said you've not received the spirit of bondage, the word bondage, that means slavery. Meaning, slaves don't hear their master, in quote. Especially in terms of the secret dealings and the purposes and the mind that he has for them. Slave doesn't. You can hear Jesus say, "I no longer call you servant, but friends." John 16. So because all that I have of the Father, I've communicated to you. By implication, you are not going to see slave get the secret of the master's house. But the secret of God are revealed to you because you are sons. And so you must come to that place to be able to hear what God have to say. Remember what Jesus spoke to the disciples in the book of Matthew 13. "To them who are outside, I speak to them in parable, but to you, it is given to know the mystery of what? The kingdom of God." So that's a relationship. So every son of God, born of the Spirit, you've come to a place of a personal relationship where you can hear God for yourself. Here they said, you talk to us, let God talk to you. Meaning, everything that Moses was going to say to the children of Israel, though God was going to communicate, but whatever they are going to receive is a second-hand information. And this is the reason why the issue of prophet came into the book. God was speaking to the whole congregation, And they were scared and said, we don't want to hear God. Give us someone to talk to us. So God instituted this issue of the prophet in this instance so that he will now be the one to talk to them. Now that's why you need to understand. If you look at the book of Exodus, chapter 4, so when Moses was arguing with God and said, I won't be able to go to Egypt because I'm a stammerer. I can't speak. I'm trying to paraphrase. Is that okay? And what did this Bible say? It said, Aaron, your brother, is coming. He will be your voice or your prophet. I will speak to you. You speak to Aaron. Aaron speak to the people. Now, I want you to get this picture because very important. That instance, Moses was a prophet of God. Aaron was a prophet of Moses. I want you to get this. Aaron was not getting direct information from God. Aaron would get it from who? From Moses. Moses would get it from who? From God. And that's why I keep saying, if you are a prophet and you say you are a prophet of God, and all that you can ever hear or talk about is devil, sorry to say, you are a prophet of the devil, because that's the one communicating to you. Aaron was a prophet of Moses. Moses was a prophet of God. Get the frequency. Aaron was not a prophet of God. He was a priest. But as far as the assignment in Egypt was concerned, he was a prophet of Moses, while Moses was a prophet of God. Are you getting what I'm saying here? So, you are a prophet of who communicates to you. That's what I'm trying to say. Hallelujah. Now, why am I saying all of this? Because God's intention is that everyone should hear him as a son. So, what he was dealing with in Exodus 20 was actually what we call a prophetic community. In other words, everyone in the household, or what I'll put it now, in that church, in the wilderness, was meant to do what? To hear God. If they have not made this request, everybody could hear God, just like Moses was hearing God. So now when Jesus came into the scene, he as much as possible made you to see that that principle had been reversed. Let us think in. What principle reversed? The principle that God will have to talk to one man to talk to you. And say nothing, my sheep do what? Hear my voice. They know me and I know them. And the voice of stranger, they will not hear. Are you getting what I'm saying now? Good. In other words, Jesus is reversing that principle. That thing that was damaged, in quote, on Mount Sinai, Jesus reversed it today. But saying now, you have access to hear me. Unlike the children of Israel who denied themselves the access to hear their leader, God, in quote. Are you getting what I'm saying now? So if they have never made that request, everyone will have heard God. And think about it. How beautiful and wonderful it should be that you can hear God talk to you part-time, anytime, any situation, whatever you find yourself. God talks to you. The problem is you don't know how he communicates. The problem is you are not sensitive to the fact that God can talk to you. So you look for a second-hand information. Somebody that has to be in the middle. And I tried to define, when I was speaking in Lagos 2 weeks ago, I've said that here before, and it's in that little book, Who is a Prophet? A prophet is not necessarily the man that sees vision for you. I've been saying that severally. A prophet is not necessarily the man that tells you what a problem is. Because listen to me. I was praying with somebody in the office this afternoon. And I shared one or two things with that individual. That is not to say I'm going to stand over him as a prophet. No. What just happened was you can combine the gift of the spirit of discernment, the gift of the word of knowledge, and the gift of the word of wisdom. If you combine the three gifts operating in your life, you can see things and talk to people the things that they don't know, and they think you are a prophet. That's not what a prophet means. Most people who speak to you, they are just simply operating on the word of knowledge and the word of wisdom. The word of wisdom enables you to know the root cause of the problem the individual is passing through. Are you still there with me? So, you combine the word of knowledge, the gift of discernment, and the word of wisdom together, you can operate like as if you are operating as a prophet, but you are not a prophet. Who is a prophet? That's the next question they want to ask me. Remember, the first place where the word prophet is used in the Bible is Genesis 20. And that was not Moses. That word was used for Abraham when Abimelech questioned God, because God was placing the house of Abimelech because of Sarah. And Abimelech said, "Do you want to destroy an innocent people in the city?" And God said, "No. I know that you did that in the innocence of your heart, that you took Sarah, but I would withheld you from sleeping with her. Is that okay? But now restore the man's wife to him and let him pray for you, for he is a prophet." So my question is, where did you see Abraham speaking to people about their problems? The principle of first occurrence, the word prophet, came from Genesis 20. And it had nothing to do with visions. So why would God refer to Abraham as a prophet? Because in Genesis 18, when God intended to destroy Sodom, he said, "I will not do this without fear revealing it to Abraham, for I know," hallelujah, "that he will instruct or bring up his children in the word of the Lord." And Amos will not say, "God will do nothing except if fear reveal it to what? His prophets." Did you get that? Good. So if we put Amos 3, and then God spoke to Abraham. So now Abraham knew that God is going to destroy Sodom. So he knew the mind of God. So who is a prophet? A prophet is the one that has the mind of God. Praise God, somebody. You follow me? Good. So a true prophet of God, when you say a man is a prophet of God, is a man that knows the mind of God, what God intends to do, not what the devil is about to do. Amen? So that's why we find that Abraham was referred to as what? A prophet. Because he knew the mind of God, that God intends to go and destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. And God would do nothing except fair ability to his prophet. And God, the next thing that happened, in that context, he discovered that Abraham was not talking to God. "If I have 50, will you spare? If I have 40, 45, you remember the story, God? Right. He was interceding. So what is that supposed to mean? Why was Abraham so strong to be able to do that? Because scripture tells us in the book of Psalm, "The earth and the fullness thereof has he given to who? To the sons of men." The earth has he given to the sons of men. By implication, God has consigned the territory of the earth to man for authority, dominion, and supervision. So he will not violate his laws by coming to the earth to do a thing without somebody requesting or denying him such opportunity. And that's a hard thing to say. That's why the book of Ezekiel said, "I sought for a man to stand the gap." Did you get that? God will not invade the earth for anything form of destruction without first speaking to somebody and looking for somebody that can tell him, "No, you don't do it, we can do this." Because he will not violate his own word. The earth has he given to the sons of men. Amen. Heaven is my throne, but the earth has I given to the sons of men. So it's like he consults men before he takes action. And you know what happened? Even the destruction of Sodom, it was because people petitioned heaven That is why he came down. Remember the statement, I said, let us go down. Say they cry. How many of you understand that? So anytime you're speaking evil of your country, you're actually petitioning heaven. Praise God. So that's exactly what happened in that case. So this is what we're saying there. And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that which I am to do? Shall I hide it? That's the key point. And that's why he referred to him as, what's the next verse? Verse 18. Genesis, you are there already. Give me verse 18 together. What do you see there? Praise the Lord. So I need you to get this point because it's very important. What I'm saying is this. Seeing that Abraham shall surely become a great and a mighty nation, and all the nations of the earth shall be blessed in him. Seeing that reason, I have to tell him what's going to happen, because Sodom is part of a nation already. Now this was going to happen to the nation. So you got to know, because they're father of all great nations. Hallelujah. So I need you to understand this, that God's intention from day one is to communicate with you. He wants to talk to you. He wants to reveal himself to you. Hallelujah. And that is why you must take this study very seriously. From now till we round it up. You must come to that place where you can, of your own, hear what God has to say in every and any situation. You must come to that level. Why? Because you are born of the Spirit. The thing that enables you to start hearing God is the Holy Spirit that is not in your human spirit. Is that okay? Hallelujah. Go with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 1 and verse 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, had in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. And I want you to get this. Whom he had appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the world. So, hear this and hear it clearly. Maybe you go to Amplified Translation, verse number 1, Hebrews. Hebrews 1, verse number 1, Amplified. In many separate revelations, each of which set forth a portion of the truth. What did Jesus say about himself? I am the way, the truth, and the life. Remember that? And in different ways, God spoke of old to our forefathers in and by the prophets. So, but this time, he's speaking to us by what? In the Son. In other words, all of those things Moses, the rest of Isaiah spoke, fine, they were good, but they are all fragment of all that God intended to say. Now, if you nearly need to hear what God had to say, you find it where? In Christ. So now in John 10, he's saying, my sheep do what? Hear my voice. So it's not a question of listening to the other fragmentation anymore. All of those fragments of information that were there before he came have now converged in him. So if you need to get the whole mind of God, where do you find that? In Christ. Everything converged in Christ. Hallelujah. So he now said, my sheep do what? They hear my voice. They follow me. So every follower of Jesus is meant to hear him. And I want you to take that. Every follower, if you truly have come to that place and said, I'm a follower of Jesus, then you must hear him. You just must hear him. It's imperative you hear him. Because this runs through every bit of your life, your decision making, action to be taken, whatever decision, it has to do with what he says as a follower. Hallelujah. Now, hearing God's voice is highly very subjective and a difficult subject to teach people. And I want you to know this, or to explain, very subjective. It's a difficult subject to teach, but I'm going to try my best to explain to you what it means and how you can hear the voice of God. Because that one makes you a true son. You can't be in your father's house and God doesn't talk to you. Neither will you be in your father's house and you don't know or understand the voice of your father. It just simply means there is no relationship, because you stay so long with an individual, if the person even sneezes somewhere else, even if it's on the phone, you will know who the person is. Am I right? Speaking audibly is of no advantage over every other method with which God speaks, except for the deaf. Listen, I'm going to make you see several methods by which God speaks, just like we read here. He spoke in diverse manners, using methods, right? Using prophets. Good. Now, audible voice, that hearing a sound, doesn't make it more superior than the other way by which he speaks to man, except for the deaf. Only deaf people will you use sign to speak to. Is that okay? Come on, are you there with me? Right. So, there are various methods by which he speaks, which I'm going to make you see. And it's important you understand that. But like I said, this is a very subjective and difficult subject to teach for people to be able to embrace this, to come to this realization. But you need it, because it's part of the frameworks that determines who you are. As a believer, as a child of God, you are not a slave. You're not a stranger in your father's house. This is what enables you to know the secrets of God. Praise the living God. The young man I was praying with this afternoon, when I tried to share what I saw, he was saying, I'm thinking. I said, you are not thinking. You ought to know, because this ought to be your life, not my life. It's your life. Is that okay? Yeah. So it's not about I'm thinking. It's not about thinking. You should know. You ought to work a witness of what I'm saying. Say, yes, that I believe. I say, fine. You should have a witness of what I'm saying, if it's true or not, in your spirit, man. Why? Because God must have first revealed this to you. And as a matter of fact, you have to do with ministry. If it is your calling, it is your DNA. And there is no way somebody else will come and explain your DNA to you without you having that same thing within you. Spiritually speaking, you should know who you are. So if I'm speaking to you, I'm only confirming to you who you know yourself to be. And gives you extra faith. Praise the Lord. I told us a story some time ago when I wanted to make a decision. And somebody made a prophecy for me when I was yet in the ministry. Then I've not even started being a preacher. And he made a statement and he said, you're going to be traveling overseas. I see you traveling overseas. And I was wondering, how could that be? You know, so along the line, in the course of my job, a situation popped up. And a promise was made with an individual. Okay, we got to go overseas together. I looked at the very tricky. So I went back to this man and I said, look at the offer I've been given to me. They said, that's a prophecy. But something in me says, no, this is not right. So I went to God and I said, listen, God, I am your child, just like that man who is a prophet. If you can talk to him, you got to talk to me over this matter. And until you talk to me over it, I'm going to go into fasting. I'm not talking of fasting and breaking in the evening. I fasted for 14 good days, no food. I just want to hear God talk to me. This time, audibly. I was there, no food, and I was going to work. 14 good days. On the 14th day, it was nice and beautiful. Because in my room, where I was staying in the village, it was like a glow just came in, like light just filled the whole place. Out of that light, I had a voice. He gave me the first scripture. I opened the scripture and I was hearing sound. Music was all over the place. Very wonderful experience. I now looked at the scripture he gave to me. I read it. I said, no, but I'm not satisfied. Because the first scripture he said was, he that does not do this does not have Christ, or does not have the life of Christ. He that does it does not have the life of Christ. Actually, from the book of Romans. And I said, no, I'm not satisfied with that. And then it lasted about 5 minutes. The voice came again, gave me another scripture from the book of Deuteronomy. I read it again. I said, Lord, but I'm not still satisfied. I can't spend 14 days and just give me only these two scriptures. Talk to me. Hallelujah. And then he spoke to me again from another scripture. Clear scriptures I was all reading. You understand that? Now I took my decision based on the scripture, because I said, okay, Lord, okay, if that's the case, fine. Now tell me what next to do. And he gave me a simple experiment to do, which I did that very morning. I mean, it is a realm that you will enjoy in decision making as a child of God. Amen? Are we here together? All right. So, he speaks in various ways, so we don't put him in a box. Again, John 10:27. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Verse 28. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Now the sheep of Christ are not those who are included, or what I put now, in an eternal decree to the exclusion of others from the glory of eternal mercy. Listen closely. What I mean to say here is this. God intends all mankind to come under this glory of his mercy. Forgiveness is not for only the sheep. Did you understand what I mean? Come on, are you here with me? Right. So why am I saying this? If you don't take care, you think only a believer is the one that hears God. But who was Nebuchadnezzar? Who was the wife of Pilate? Are we here together? That's why I made this statement. It's not an exclusive, but there is a dimension by which you relate to God. But what I'm trying to say, God speaks to everybody. But everybody doesn't understand God speaking. Amen? Praise the Lord. So the thing is, for you as a believer, it's a greater privilege because you know when God is talking. That's the excess of this. When God starts speaking, you will know. For the man in the street, they can hardly know God is talking. Amen? But it is an open channel, in quote, for everyone on the face of the earth. As a matter of fact, the book of Romans chapter 1, chapter 2 tells us precisely that even in disguise, the language of God is there. How many of you remember that? The Son and the Moon, that they speak of the glory of the Father. Therefore, the man who says he's not a believer have no excuse that there is no God. By implication, if he said there is no God, what about the Sun and the Moon? Who made them? So if you can look at the Sun and the Moon and all of those things and the firmament of heaven, you can say, well, God created these things. So God is speaking. So all those things, they are speaking. In other words, they have a voice. Praise the Lord. All right. So all are meant to hear, believe in, and follow, and obey the Savior of the world. That is God's intention. But we are saying not everybody is observing this rule. God's intention is everyone should hear and follow. Why? Jesus is the Savior of the world. Not the Savior of Christians, Savior of the world. The Christians are those who have come to believe and now follow him. Amen? Praise the living God. So you have the great advantage. The great advantage is you can design the voice because you now have a personal relationship with him, as compared to others who probably could be guessing. You are not supposed to guess to know what God is saying. Amen? Now follow me. A flock follows its shepherd to pasture and streams. Praise the living God. Now look at John 10 verse number 3. John 10 verse number 3. Hallelujah. Okay, go to verse 2. John 10 verse 2. But he that entereth in by... Somebody will take it for verse 1. That will help us a little bit. Thought you can understand this. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name and leadeth them out. He called them by name and leadeth them out. Now, if you really want to understand John 10, you must read John 9. Jesus healed a blind man, and the Pharisees were arguing or trying to dispute, as always, that the man was not blind. And then they came to the point and said, well, are we blind also? And Jesus said, well, you said you're blind. I never told you that. But you think you see, but you're blind. And those who are blind see. Is that okay? And so when he came in here to chapter 10 and begin to say, verily, verily, I say unto you, the verse 1, is actually talking to the Pharisees. And so when he called them, go back to verse 1, let me show you what I mean. This is where, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold. You know what he's trying to say? You can't pastor God's children without going through me. You Pharisees are claiming to be the people, to minister to the people without passing through me. You are going through the wrong way. Therefore, you are thieves and robbers. When he said, the thief come to kill, to steal, and to destroy, he's not talking about the devil. He's talking about the Pharisees, talking about religious people, not devil. He said, all that came before me, they are thieves and what? And robbers. Why? They can't give life with their messages and doctrines and teachings. That's what he meant. So when people begin to say, the thief come to steal, to kill, and to destroy, he's talking about the devil. That is not the devil. He's talking about the scribes and the Pharisees who want to minister to the people, and yet they can't impart life unto them. Jesus said, I came to give you life, and to give it to you what? More abundantly. That's what the scribes and Pharisees cannot give. So they were actually the thieves and the robbers, going through other means to minister to God's people. Did you get it? So, when you hear the voice, it leads you, and that's very important. Verse number 3 now. This is the key here. To him the porter opened it, and the sheep hear his voice, and he called his own by name, and don't what? Lead them out. The shepherd led the sheep to place of green water, green grass, or what you call green pasture, and streams where they can dream. The shepherd does that. By implication, the voice of God leads you to the place of fruitfulness and abundance in life, no matter the situation. So even if things are tough and rough and you can hear God's voice, he takes you to the place of abundance and plenty. Decisions are only hard to make because you're not hearing God. Hallelujah. Christians not only obey Christ, but they also imitate him. They go where his spirit and providence leads them. They yield themselves to his guidance and seek to be led by him. Understand where a Christian really is. They have to have this conviction that their master leads them to the place of abundance. So even if you are in business, if you only you can pay close attention to what he says to you, he will take you to the place of abundant fruitfulness and upliftment regularly. Because the key point is, you hear his voice, he leads you to the place of still waters. He leads you to the place of green pasture. The excess of Eva leading the sheep out is to take them to where they can graze and have water to drink. It doesn't take them to dry land or dry desert, no. Do you understand what I'm saying here? Good. So, Christians, that's a very important. No matter the time, the season we are in, if only you can pay close attention to what it says. Praise the Lord. Even in terms of financial management. I gave you a story here some time ago. Forgetting this evangelist. It was forgetting the name now, but I watched the video then in the 90s. He was into this mission thing, and then one day he bought a suit for himself. And in the night, the Lord woke him up and said, "Who asked you to buy a suit with my money? You are mission feed. You should listen to me. You don't have to use my money to buy a suit for yourself." Hallelujah. And the man repented and asked for forgiveness. What I'm saying is, God is even concerned about how you use your money. You may not know. You may not know. But he's very concerned about how you use your money. Amen. Praise the Lord. If you think it's not true, why do you think the scripture will say, "Where a man treasure is, there his heart will be also"? And he said, "So many of you come to worship me with your lips, but your heart is far away." Where is your heart? Your heart is where your treasure is. Where's your treasure? Your bank account. Do you understand that? He said, "You came to worship me with your lips, but your heart is far away from me." What do you mean by that? He's simply saying, you don't dispense with your money. When it comes to worshiping me, you come with your lips, but your heart is where your treasure really is. Amen. Praise the Lord. Okay. So, my sheep hear my voice. It applies to Christians. It means that they hear and obey what? His commandment. That's the main thing. If he gives you instruction, you got to follow it. You must follow. He gives you instruction. I traveled yesterday and I was coming back, and the guy I traveled with from Bayelsa, and he was saying, "This country, if I have my way to go out of this country, I won't come back like you do." Praise the living God. "So I won't come back." I said, "Why won't you come back?" He said, No. I said, "Pastor, no way. I leave this country, then I come back here? No, I can't. Because we're passing the road and all manner of roadblocks, wood everywhere." And I was saying, "God, what is going on? It's just like, why have I returned again?" But you know the story, how I almost left this country and God said, "Go back home." You see, there's a big, big difference between just being a Christian and listening to the voice of God for your life. Big, big difference. You can be a Christian just because of the money you want to make. You can be a Christian just because you feel, oh, you want the protection. But listen to me. Protection comes from obedience. If God gives you an instruction on where to be, he protects you because you obeyed him to be there. But if you leave that area where he asks you to be, no matter what reason you have in terms of, "I want to be in church so that I can be protected by God," you are not going to get the protection. You won't get it. His protection is based on your obedience to where he wants you to be. Jesus said in John 14, if you love me, what will you do? Keep my commandment. So it's not a matter of, oh, Jesus, I love you. How much I love you. No. That is not what he's looking for. It's not what you say. It is how much time do you spend obeying what he asks you to do. If you can't follow his instruction, no matter how long you're going to shout out loud how much you love him, you're wasting your time. If you love me, keep my commandment. So obeying what he says is a proof of your love to Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. So major problem we have is, even we as believers, we don't not only hear, but we don't obey. And we don't follow. Now, remember what you said, Pastor Francis. The key to being a disciple is followership and obedience to what your master says. Every one of them, what he calls, say, follow me, I will make you. Follow me. It has to be follow. That the next thing is learn. In Matthew 11:28, learn of me. Remember that. Oh, yeah, labor, come unto me. My yoke is easy. The learn of me, take my yoke upon me. Learn. So two things you must not forget when it comes to Christ. You have to follow, you have to learn. Learning means you imitate. Imitate his lifestyle. That's how you learn. How do you learn from Jesus? Imitate his lifestyle. What was his relationship with God? How did he behave? How was he conducting himself on the face of the earth? That's how you learn. His humility, his forgiveness, his obedience to the Father, how he treats his enemies. That's how you learn. Learn of me. Are you there with me? So, when you come to the place of obeying the voice, then we're not talking about you being able to follow and imitate him. Or they call imitators of Christ. Praise the Lord. Although basically God wants everybody all over the world to hear him and to be his flocks. That is his desire. Man is still man. What I mean is, let us make man in our image. It's there. And I was speaking to someone today. You see, if you want to teach the Bible, because I had a question and he said, and since I'm a teacher of the Word of God, I said, okay, how do you form your doctrine? You see, you must have the eyes or the lens of God's eyes in viewing the overall plan of God in forming your doctrine. If you don't have that lens, you're wasting your time. What's the lens? God's intention, even in redemption, is that man is the center of his project. Let us make man our image. Let it have dominion. That is the central project of God. And this intends to achieve through who? Jesus Christ. So all your doctrine must converge on that point. Because that is God's purpose. And he hasn't changed it, and he not intended to change it. So redemption answers to that Genesis 1:26-27-28, if you will. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. Okay, now let's see, 5 minutes more. Genesis 3:7-8. Are you there with me? The Bible says, and the eyes of them both were open, and they knew that they were naked. I've explained this before, right? Good. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. Look at verse 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Amen. I'm going to read two scriptures for you to see here. I've explained that before, but for the purpose of the audience, I need to put it on record that you understand. I have emphasized the fact that you don't know God through miracles. Miracles is miracle, deliverance, whatever. They are the children's bread. They are what meant for people. But miracle doesn't make you know God. If miracles were to enable you know God and follow God, then those who had manna in the wilderness should have followed God. But they had hardened heart, unbelieving heart, and so they could not enter the promised land. But yet, they got manna, the sea parted. How many of you understand that? Hey, are you there with me? All the miracles you can think about, they had it. They ate angels' food, but that didn't make them believe God or to know God. Amen? And so the Bible says, his ways were made known unto Moses, but his acts unto the people. The acts were the miracles. But his ways, which has to do with his voice and his manner and thought, they were made known unto who? Unto Moses. So hearing God's voice enables you to know his ways. When you don't hear his voice yet, because of his mercy and common grace, you can get miracles, but that's not to say you know him. So here the Bible tells us that they have the voice of God in the cool of the evening. Now go with me to John chapter 20. Let me read these two passages and then we'll close for tonight. 20 verse 15. Thank you, Father God. I appreciate you, Lord. 20:15. Greater light. Amen. Now, here is Mary Magdalene who went to, search around. Thank you, Father. Jesus was buried and, she went there the next morning. Maybe you want to go and clean him up or take care of the spies, whatever the case may be. But it's the story. Bible says, Jesus said unto her, now there has risen. And I keep saying this. Woman, why weepest thou? She was crying, looking for her because they couldn't find her in the grave. Find him in the grave. Whom seekest thou? Who are you looking for? She is supposing him to be the gardener. And I want you to look at this. That's Mary Magdalene. And said unto him, sir, look at the address. If thou had borne him, in other words, if thou carried him away, tell me where thou hast laid him, and I will take him away. In other words, you are one of those taking care of the corpse in the cemetery. Maybe you removed him from the tomb. So where did you lay him? Sir, where did you lay him? How many of you understand? This Mary addressing Jesus as a gardener. That will tell you that the Jesus you're looking for, if he appears now, you will know him. Because all you ever know about Jesus is that man with the blue eyes and calendar in your office. Amen. Are we here? You see the type you have in the Roman Catholic Church? That one that is, others ones. Those are the ones you know. But you see, Mark 16, the Bible says, he appeared to the disciples in a different form. Once Jesus rose from the grave, you don't see the Jesus of Palestine anymore. That's what people don't know. Even those expecting him to come, when he comes, they think they are going to see the man of Galilee. No. No, we know man after the flesh, henceforth. Even though we've known Christ after the flesh, henceforth know we him no more. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Look at verse 16. And Jesus said unto her, Mary. She turned herself and said unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. How did Mary get to know that this was Jesus? The voice. That's why he says, my sheep hear my voice. They know me and I know them. The voice of stranger, they will not hear. Did you see that? Jesus, without the miracle he did for Mary Magdalene, all of those people that they have seen, they couldn't recognize him. By what means was he recognized by Mary? By the voice. If you are truly Adam and Eve in the garden, how did they get to know God was around? The voice. You must be able in your spiritual journey grow to the point where you can understand the voice of God, recognize the voice of God, know when God is talking and when God is not talking, know when God is talking and your flesh is talking. You should be able to discern who is actually speaking. Is it my flesh or is it just my mind? Hallelujah. Because you know your mind is very powerful. Your mind can talk to you. I was sharing with somebody who had a dream and was so scared. They tried to reach out to me and say, "This is a dream I had." I tried to explain, "Do you know the source of the dream?" Said, "No. It could just be your mind, your thoughts." Because you see, I told you here before, and it's very powerful. God can respond to your thoughts. The devil can respond to your thoughts. And your thoughts can play tricks on you sometimes, and you think you're actually having a dream from God. It's very important. The way you think and go to bed can produce dreams. You wake up the next day and you said you had a dream. It was what you were thinking before you went to bed. Listen, it's very simple. That's why the Bible says God will do exceedingly above all that you ask or think. That means he can answer your prayers. You can pray for 2-3 hours. He can answer your thoughts for 5 minutes. You can be thinking a thought for 5 minutes, God can answer to that. You can be praying for 2 hours, God can answer to that. So you don't, your thinking is as powerful as your prayers. People don't understand that. They think it has to be with prayers alone. Okay, I proved that to you. How did God respond to Joseph? Was Joseph praying? Joseph said, "No, Mary is pregnant. I'm going to put her away." He was thinking to himself. He wasn't praying. But God sent an angel. How many of you remember that? Praise the Lord. Are we still here? And then you look at the case of Peter. Like I made the person to understand. Why did Peter have to get a basket from heaven where reptiles say, "Kill and eat"? Acts chapter 10. Peter was hungry and was waiting for food to be prepared. Hallelujah. God knows how to play tricks on people. And he brought the basket and said, "Oh, Peter, you're hungry. Kill and eat." Peter said, "No, I can eat none of this thing. These are abominable stuff, whatever. Unclean." Because they were reptiles. And people never understood why it was reptiles. And not just reptiles. It was basket that had 4 corners tied up. Why was it 4 corners? 4 corners of the world. God was speaking to Peter. "I'm redeeming the world. The Gentiles, the reptile represented Gentile nations. I'm bringing the Gentile nations together all over the world. I need it to kill and eat. You know, minister to them." Peter said, "I can't eat this." So the first Gentile person there was who? Cornelius. Remember that? But I'm saying, how did Peter get that revelation? He was hungry. So some of your thought patterns are what gives you dreams. They are not from God. I'm saying this on for you to understand that you can hear the voice of God, and very important to know who God is. But again, you should be able to separate the voice of God from your mind and circumstances around you. That is why you cannot take all dreams so seriously. What I mean by that is, you should be able to know the dreams that come from God and the one that doesn't come from God. You should be able to know. And one of the things I showed you before, which in the course of this study we're going to go through, is Job 33. If you had a dream that comes once, twice, and three times, the same pattern, know that is God talking. That is God speaking to you. Remember that? That's why you see the 11 stars, the bow down, 11 stars, the moon and the sun, you know, to Joseph. Then 11 sheep up, I mean, bow down to Joseph. That was his family. That was his father. He came twice. What about the dream that came to Pharaoh? The 7 lean years, 11 lean cows, 11, I mean, 7 lean goats. Remember that. He repeated twice. Look, if you have a dream repeating itself twice to you, know that God is talking to you. But at the same time, design why God is saying what he's saying. Because most times God's dream is to prevent you from getting into trouble. God doesn't give you dreams to kill you or to get you into trouble. No, he gives you a dream to prevent you from getting into trouble. And so you can see what happened to Pilate's wife. To get Pilate out of the problem of being part of those crucifying Jesus, the wife had a dream. You remember that? And the Bible rightly said, the woman came and said, I had a dream this night. This man is innocent. That's what I was trying to make you understand. God still speaks to people, but they don't understand when God is talking. Pilate's wife was not a Jew. Amen? So it was not a born-again thing. But God spoke. Because God uses his voice or means of communication to bring to redemption what he wants to do. As touching Christ, he can speak to anybody. But how people understand when God is talking is the problem. And that's why we're having this study. So that for you, you should be able to come to that place. Full grasp of knowing how God talks. Knowing when he talks. And so when your mind is playing tricks on you, you should know. When the voice of stranger, that's what I'm saying, remember that. The voice of stranger that will not follow. By implication, any voice that comes to you, whether it is your mind, whether it is by any circumstance, and it's not in congruence with what Christ will say, that's the voice of stranger. If it doesn't lead you to the place of success, joy, and fruitfulness, it's the voice of stranger. Every voice of God will give you strength, will give you joy, will give you hope. Hallelujah. Praise the living God. So friends, we're going to continue here next week. But it's important you understand what I'm saying. My sheep do what? Hear my voice. They know me and I know them. And the voice of stranger, they will not follow. And one thing I love about what Jesus says, I call them by name. He knows you. He knows your name. Hallelujah. He knows exactly who you are. He gives you your name. He identifies you with what he wants to do with your life. He knows you. You should be able to know who you are and what your name really is. My name is David. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to Dr. David Ogaga. We know you have been blessed by this station. You can share this message with your friends and loved ones. For more information, inquiries, and free downloads, please visit www.davidogaga.org or you can send us an email admin@gkai.net. God bless you.